This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Mo King's Meadow, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. Now, this week, Chelsea had the chance to complete their qualification into the quarterfinals of the Champions League when they faced Real Madrid at Stamford Bridge. Despite Emma Hayes calling it a boring game, we will try and spice up the action for you via this podcast as Chelsea ran out eventual 2-1 winners and sealed that place in the quarterfinals and topped the group with a game to spare. Ironically, they are on the same points as they were 2 years ago when they got knocked out of the group stage when they lost 4-0 to Wolfsburg in the final game. So, funny how things change. So, quite simply, the show title tonight is episode 117, Mission Complete. I'm your host, Dean, obviously, and joining me tonight, thankfully, is Mr. Matt Ball from Worldwide Chelsea. Matt, good to see you again, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be on. It's good to have someone on because I'm sure doing this on your own wouldn't have been that fun.
I've never tried it, but I think one day I'll probably have to ask myself and answer the same questions, which I might like, and then I'll cut you all off the group and just do it myself, although I don't think I'll get many listeners. Now, you can listen to this show live if you want to when it's on. So normally on a Tuesday, but do Fridays when we play midweek. That is via Mixlr, that's mixlr.com, and search if you went to Mo King's Meadow. And if you sign up for a profile on there, you can join in the show by posting on the live chat page, as Buffer has already. Good evening, Buffer, good to see you. And now we also are publishing these podcasts on our own platform now, Went to Mo King's Meadow, as well as the Chelsea Fancast. So if you are listening on our Went to Mo King's Meadow platform, please leave us a nice review or a bad one. Either way, don't mind, but just want to read what you think of the show. Might help us improve, but I probably won't listen to you anyway. On the show tonight, in part one, we're going to review that win over Real Madrid. And in part two, we're going to look ahead to tomorrow night's fixture with Brighton and Hove Albion in the WSL. And we're going to do all that straight after this. Let's get into the action. The starting lineup for this one: Hannah Hampton in goal, back four of Ashley Lawrence, Kadisha Buchanan, Jess Carter and Neve Charles. Aaron Cuthbert and Melanie Leupold continued their partnership in midfield, with Johanna Ritten Cameron, Frank Kirby and Guru Wrighton supporting Mia Fischel in attack. Emma Hayes made just three subs for this one: Lauren James for Fischel at half time, Shirkin Luskin for Kirby, and Aggie Beaver Jones for Johanna Ritten Cameron, both in the 76th minute. That left Chiramazovic, Sophie Ingle, Yves Perisset, Marin Miada and Jelena Cankovic as our new substitutes. Then in your stats, you've got Chelsea with 60% possession, 16 shots, 10 on target, 9 corners and 4 fouls. To Real Madrid's 40% possession, 12 shots, 6 on target, 4 corners and 4 fouls. And Matt, as always, we'll go to the lineup first. And where we always like to start in goal, and Hannah Hampton keeping their place was probably to be expected after her performance against Manchester United.
Yeah, I think she did so well against United that sometimes, I know Emma likes to play roulette with his goalkeeper sometimes, and sometimes you think it's just she's picking it out of a hat at times. But I think you had to just give her almost a mini run of games. Obviously, she's had the least experience in the side compared to the others that are available with us. So I think she deserved to start. I don't think she... For a Champions League debut, I don't think she did bad at all herself. Could she have done a bit better with a goal? Maybe. But overall, good Champions League debut.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when we talk about the goal. And then ultimately we talk about Brighton and who starts. Because that is obviously going to be one of the questions. Because Emma Hayes has been ruthless this season with goalkeepers. And we'll obviously discuss whether she's going to do that again. And I suppose the other big change was Lauren James after a hat-trick left out. I don't think she trained before this game, which is obviously part of her recovery. And given the way that she arrived at the club with those injuries, it's good to see that Emma is still using caution with her and not just relying on her non-stop.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, you see with Chelsea in general that injuries are not our friend. Even in the men's game, injuries before warm-ups, it's just these players need to be taken care of. And as much as this game was important that we needed to get the win, I think we have a squad where you can take Lauren James out of that and still get the result. And I think we did need her a little bit because I think we were flat, but at least she got 45 minutes of rest, I suppose.
Yeah, we were flat, but again, for the third game in a row now, Chelsea, Matt, with a really positive start. Cuppet with a great chance. Wrighton almost chips the goalkeeper when she's trying to cross it in, I think, as well. You know, this is the third time where within 5-10 minutes, Chelsea have had 2 or 3 really good chances in a game. And then frustrating probably not to take the lead early on and probably settle the team down a bit.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. All this team needed in this game was a goal. And you could see Real Madrid. I mean, I've not seen a team so. They were terrible from start to finish. I mean, some of their playing out of the back. You expect the Spanish team to play out with the ball quite well, and they were terrible at times. And we probably should and could have got, as you said, got some of them early chances in, and that would have settled the game down. But obviously, the longer you go without scoring, you make it tense for yourself. And I think that's kind of what we did a little bit. We didn't score them chances. And then I think as the game went on, we almost went down to Real Madrid's level a little bit at times. And I think Emma probably definitely saw that. And that's why she tried to change it, getting Lauren James on.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Real Madrid, missing the likes of Caroline Weir and a couple of other players, I think, from their team for this game. But as we say, Chelsea didn't take their early chances. And then did Madrid grow into the game or did Chelsea's levels drop? That's up to you what you want to say. But, Linda Caicedo caused us a lot of problems, didn't she? And, luckily for us, she went off injured, and not to wish injury on a player, but that was probably the best thing that happened in the first half for us.
Yeah, I mean, my brother was with me at the game. He's unfortunately not a Chelsea fan, still trying to convert a little bit. But I said to him, as soon as I saw Linda Caicedo was on start, I said, watch number 18. And first, as soon as he got the ball, he was just like, wow, what a player. And you could see that as soon as she got the ball, there was that, I don't want to say fear, but Chelsea were a little bit more panicky. They didn't want to dive in, didn't want to just go in and make the tackle. They were letting her have a little bit of space and seeing what she'll do with the ball, because She's scary that she the things she can do sometimes. Obviously, she's again. I don't want to say I was glad that she came off, but I wasn't exactly sad about it.
Yeah, wish her the best in recovery from whatever injury she did sustain. But yeah,
yeah.
No, we see the weekend before against Man United, the defence didn't like a pacey forward, and so we seem to struggle with. Which I'm not sure. Maybe we're missing a bit of pace at the back, with Carter and Buchanan in there.
Yeah, I don't think we're exactly blessed with pace in them too. But even with Buchanan, I think it's Buchanan, unfortunately, she has a mistake in her. And I think with these pacey forwards, I feel like she's more likely to make the mistake. And then Carter, while she can recover well, I think if you're going in a running race with Carter, I think the pacey forwards are likely to win it. And I think sometimes I always say with centre backs, as being a centre back myself in terms of playing, you've got to have a really good partnership between two centre backs. Sometimes the you could put two best centre backs in the world together. If they can't play together, they'll both look crap. For example, you go into the men's team, John Terry, Ricardo Carvalho, both of them not the best two centre backs at the time. Were part of the best back four in the world, arguably ever. And that was because they played so well together. When I look at Buchanan and Carter, I just don't see that partnership that well at all. Even Bjorn come in, and as soon as she started playing with either Buchanan or Carter, she just looked a lot more comfortable, and the whole partnership looked comfortable because I think she just was able to play with them players. So I think I don't want to say it's one of Buchanan or Carter. I don't think they play well together as a pair, especially against pacey forwards.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think they're the worst pairing, not the worst players, the worst pairing between the options that we've now got. After years of Bright and Ericsson, who complement each other, similar to Terry and Carvalho, a ball player and a no nonsense defender, so to speak. Whether Bjorn's quality on the ball works well with Bright as well when she comes back. I think she works well with Carter and Buchanan. Maybe there's just a chemistry thing there that doesn't quite work as well. Carter, as Buffer mentioned on Mixed, Carter is fast. But I don't think she's been at her best recently. I think she's struggled without Millie Bright, and that is, as Matt says, the connection there. And then again, I mentioned a fast start. It was then a strong finish to the half for us. Cuthbert decided not to shoot into the open goal. Don't know what she was really thinking. And then Fisher missing a big volley. I know you mentioned Lauren James coming on at half time. Do you think that little run was the catalyst for that?
Yeah, I just feel while there was a lot of chances in attack and we could have should have scored chances, I just felt there was something missing from the attack. And Fisher come off for Lauren in the end, I was not surprised, but it wouldn't have been what I would have done. I mean, I would have kept Fisher on and taken Canara off, because I think Canara just, I didn't feel she was active. She wasn't active. She wasn't, didn't want to take on the player, and was just almost went missing at times. And I feel you can't go missing in Champions League games. I felt like this was just one where I felt you need to put Lauren on that side. We know that Lauren and Fischl are quite good of linking up with each other. I felt that might have been the better substitution, but who am I to question her?
Yeah, well, we question her every week, so not that she listens. I think I tweeted at halftime about Kirby and Fischl. I think that they are more impact subs than starters. And I think it showed. And I was going to ask this at the end, but I think I'll get into this now. For me, I thought we were sort of crying out for a Ćankovic in that situation, someone to get on the ball in those spaces. Probably the job that Lauren James done when she came on for Fischl. But again, I think you lose that presence up front. Whether Aggie could have come on as well and make a double sub. But Ćankovic can't get on the pitch at all at the moment, and it's a bit strange to me. I don't know what you make of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand it too much. I think she's, every time we see her come onto the field, she's played quite well. Then there must be something on the training ground that Emma sees that is just not at the level that she can start, or indeed at the moment come on, and does make me worry. Obviously, you've seen Fleming go out, but potentially is all done. We've heard rumours about Ćankovic potentially going as well. You've had obviously Orbidov linked with her contract situation. So I wonder whether, it depends, because obviously Emma's not going to be here in the summer, so someone might look at the new manager might look at Ćankovic and go, yeah, that's who I want. But at the moment, I think there's something that Emma sees in her that she doesn't trust. I don't know what that is, because I think she's played very well every time she's come onto the pitch. So at least coming off the bench, I think she's someone that we should use as more of an option.
Yeah, I mean, especially when we're playing, you know, this 4-2-3-1, where the emphasis is on the number 10 to get on the ball and make things happen. And that's perfect for Ćankovic. And for Fran, you know, but I just think that, you know, with the injuries that she's had, I think that is catching up with her very, very quickly. And although she can still offer stuff to the team, she had a good header, just went wide in the second half. You said it was flat, and I think that's one of the reasons it was flat.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. When Fran was actually getting on the ball and actually being able to play, that was our best moments. I remember there was one where Fran put a beautiful ball in, and Kanarid, which I always find with Kanarid, she'll make a run and you think she's going to get the ball, but she just never gets there. It's just you're almost a bit bemused of how she's not getting there, but it seems like she had that burst of pace and then it just slows down. But yeah, I agree. I think Kirby probably knows once you got kind of Macario comes back, once we've got a full set of players, I think she knows that she's probably going to be used off the bench, which is she happy with? I think she knows her body and what's been going on in the recent years. So I think she would probably be happy with that as long as she's getting some sort of game time, which I think she's still a fantastic player to call upon from the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, bring Buffer back in for a mix, they're saying, yeah, Yelena's too good to let go. You know, if I don't know, if I was a player now and I know the manager's not picking me, I know that manager's leaving, am I happy enough at the club to wait that out and see if the new manager then picks me? But then you're losing sort of half a season for Ćankovic if you don't play again. To wait it out, it's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, careers are very short. One bad injury and you can be done. So it is difficult, and the window will close on the 31st or the 30th?
I think it's the 31st, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, so we'll see. And obviously Jesse has left, so that is one person in that position, or could have been in that position, gone as well. So hopefully she stays, because I really like her as a player. We mentioned Lauren James coming on, and then Chelsea do get there, you know, the goal on the hour mark. Guru-Wrighton from the penalty spot off for a foul on Neve Charles. And we spoke about Wrighton on Tuesday about her performances. Do you think the goal will help sort of her confidence and kick her back on? Because she struggled coming back from injury to sort of get to the level she was at.
Yeah, I mean, Wrighton has always been one of my favourite players. And she just, since she's come back from the injury, she just does, there is something that's just not completely quite right. Whether she's still carrying something, or, as you said, whether it's just the act of confidence. I think she needs a goal. Maybe this penalty will be it. Maybe she might need just a few more just to get up and running. But it's still great that we can still win games, even without Fran Kirby necessarily being at the top of the game, without Wrighton, with no striker. The best thing about this team is we've always got people on the bench coming off who can get us out of trouble. And even when players have got no lack of confidence, they can still come up with the goods eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she got into, you know, she got into that stride of, you know, scoring and assisting in almost every game. You go out onto the pitch thinking you're going to do it again, I suppose, and then she gets the injury and it stops that momentum. She comes back slowly. Then one game turns to two, turns to three. These things are very quick to turn around, though. So hopefully, as you say, the goal is that catalyst to her again. to kick back on and get to the level that we know that she can do. We spoke about Neve Charles being the one failed. So she went from good to bad because she neglected Hayley Raso for Madrid's equaliser. And I know she's not technically, you know, a natural left back, but I think she's played there enough. Pretty poor all round from her on that, wasn't it, the positioning?
Yeah, and I think particularly on that right side, I think when Linda Caicedo was on the pitch, you could see they were almost targeting Charles a little bit, whether they just thought because she's not a natural left back and she does go forward a little bit more, whether there was space in behind. But yeah, which wasn't very good from her at all, and it left kind of the rest of the back four exposed, which led to the goal. I think it's obviously Charles has played very well all season, and she's played nearly every minute this season, so you can understand having one mistake messing up, which thankfully it doesn't mean it mean we're still through. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But maybe it's just a sign that Charles might need a little bit of rest apart from when she's physically suspended.
Yeah, I mean, United. I wasn't at the Real Madrid game, so you know, I didn't see all of it. But against Man United, they definitely targeted her, and whether that's because Wrighton doesn't offer the support defensively, like I think Cameron gets back a lot more than Wrighton.
Oh yeah,
they can see overloads there. But you know, this was a simple case of I don't know where my attacker is at all, and it showed. You know, but the goal comes from Hannah Hampton palming the ball out to the almost a penalty spot, I believe. And as a former goalkeeper, although not a very good one, the first thing you sort of learn is never to parry the ball back into danger. Although the shot was, you know, a decent effort and she had to make a quick save, can we lay too much, you know, blame at her door for it? And I think if it was a different goalkeeper in goal, say Muzovic, do you think she would have got more sort of stick for that goal than Hampton has?
Yeah, I think because it's a Champions League debut, and because she hasn't played many games this season, and because she is perceived as the inexperienced one in the side, I think people are going to let her off of it. Whether Emma does is another question. Whether we see Savic or Berger back within the lineups and Hampton goes missing for a bit, we don't know. But I understand your point. I think, yeah, number one rule is not to push it into the danger area, and it was poor from that, but sometimes in these quick scenarios, you just have to get a hand to it, no matter what it is. But I think it was more of that. I think she did well to make the original save, but just didn't put it in the right place. And it is what it is. But as I said, same with Charles's mistake. The game is won. We move on, and Emma will have to decide what she does, because obviously she's got lots of competition. And I'm sure Mustavich will be begging to get back in there, and Berger hasn't played for a while, so again, she'll be wanting to get back in there.
Yeah, well, we'll touch on that a bit more in part two. And I'll say, as a former goalkeeper, a goal is never the goalkeeper's fault unless they physically, you know, drop the ball into the net. Charles should have picked up Raso. Someone should have picked up the striker who scored the goal more than Hampton should have pushed it somewhere slightly differently. Because she did make a good save at the end of the game when she pushed it away from danger. The ball was cleared. So she did learn from that. I suppose when the goal goes in, Matt, around the ground, sort of a sense of frustration that we sort of just sort of got ahead. Looked like we were just going to sort of see the game out, and then we let Madrid back in.
Yeah, I think it was that, because obviously you had that frustration in the ground anyway that we hadn't. It took us an hour odd to score, and then there was finally that calmness of, all right, we can manage this game out. Real Madrid have not looked like they're going to score really much at all. They're arguably their best player on the pitch has come off injured. Everyone kind of relaxed, and it was just, I think it wasn't the fact that we conceded the goal, it was the manner that we conceded it, and how poor it was in terms of defending overall. Which got the crowd very frustrated, but thankfully that frustration didn't last too long.
No, it didn't. And, you know, a stroke of luck, I would say, for the goal. Chavos in the Real Madrid goal. I believe her debut for Real Madrid, whether just in the Champions League or for the club in general, had been pretty decent up until that point. I said she looked like me trying to, bat away a wasp. You know, when you're trying to eat your barbecue, and you're just like flapping your arms about it, just because it was hit her in the chest and went in. Down as an own goal. But would you say we deserved that little lucky break? We deserved to win the game, I think, overall.
Yeah, I think we deserve to win the game. So I suppose we deserve. You make you. I sometimes people always talk about, oh, we were lucky or unlucky with this. Sometimes in sport, you make your own luck. You've got to create them opportunities and put yourself in a position to get that luck. And yeah, it's not arguably it's not great from the goalkeeper, but again, another young, inexperienced goalkeeper. Mistakes happen, unfortunately. On the bigger stages such as the Champions League, then mistakes are going to be made known.
Yeah, I think after what happened in the first leg, we deserve something.
Yeah,
That
I mean,
was.
some. I mean, the referee, and overall, it just seems bizarre. But it is what it is. I don't like to moan too much about referees.
Yeah, let's not give them the limelight they don't deserve. I suppose, I just want to touch on Emma Hayes after the match, calling the game boring. And there's two sides to this, Matt. One is, we're into the quarterfinals, we're group winners, we've got a game to spare. There's no pressure going to Paris at all. So that's, we can't really complain that the game was boring. But on the other hand, we are still trying to grow an audience, especially at Stamford Bridge. And they let more fans in. Those newcomers probably not as happy to see a boring Chelsea. They're going to want some excitement. Sort of as a fan, I think I don't know what side you sit on, but is there a worry at all that we come to the quarterfinals that those fans aren't going to want to come back if they're expecting another sort of tame, boring performance from Chelsea?
It's hard, obviously, because it depends on how experienced they are, whether they've watched football before, whether it's fans coming from the men's game into the women's game for the first time, or whether it's new fans to football in general. You don't really, it's hard to predict. I mean, the people around me, there was a lot of frustration at times. There was one particular person behind me that I could tell definitely goes to ma men's games because the language that was coming out was not particularly nice, but it is what it is. If you're going to get more people into the game, unfortunately, you're going to get some people like that. But we just got to hope that Chelsea can continue the work they're doing and to improve it. And I think you've got, obviously, I mean, the Man United match was a good advert for it. So hopefully, some people take that game and look at that game rather than looking at, obviously, the Real Madrid game, and it depends on who we get. It's hard with the midweek games because it's not it, you can't brand it to the it, you have to rely on something other than the family brand that does well on kind of weekend games because obviously it's a midweek it's due us on our school night and not as many kids can come and I noticed that there was a lot more adults than there was kids compared to other Stamford Bridge games I've gone to on the weekend but. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, I still think the audience will grow, and I think as long as we can at least keep it over 10,000, then I think that's happy for me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that they had actually sold more tickets for this game than the 5,000. To be because they obviously said about before having to, shut the whole stadium or police the whole stadium, whatever they say it has to cost. But I thought it was really good that they did sell that sort of 11,000, I think it was. The shed, the east and the west, lower tiers. Were they all full?
Yeah, I think there were majority full little patches here and there, but I would say very little patches. I think it was good that they didn't open the fourth stand and just spread it out a little bit. It was nice that we were all packed together because it creates a bit of a better atmosphere. But yeah, it was good. It was good to see that we could get 11,000 in there. And I think the more people you get in there, the better atmosphere. And credit to the Chelsea owners for trying to get more people in, and hopefully they are learning from mistakes that they've made.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the Hacking game before Christmas at Stamford Bridge with just the East Ham lower open. Obviously, was 0-0 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was boring. At least you got 3 goals in the game.
Yeah,
and as we say, Chelsea are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The only place in England you can watch UEFA win Champions League football is Stamford Bridge. So make sure when the fixtures come out, you do get your tickets and support the team in the quarterfinals. Just looking at, I've not really looked at the groups in full, but I think because of the likes of Wolfsburg and Arsenal not qualifying, yes, Arsenal not qualifying. The draw's looking particularly, not particularly difficult for the. For the quarterfinals right now, I know there's one more group game to play, so there is some movement that could happen. But, the big team should avoid each other until the semi-final stage, which obviously helps us out.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the group stages now, I mean, Barcelona and Benfica are both through. Lyon and Brann are both through. You've still got, it's the only people you've still got to see if they go through is either Hacken or Paris. Which you'd hope, as you'd probably say, is Hacken, depending on how we do. And then obviously you've got between PSG, Ajax, and Bayern Munich, which if you can potentially, and Roma, that's still an open group. So potentially, if you see some of them big boys go out or big girls, then it could be really open, and there could be a favourable draw. But we'll have to see what it's like. It's not long until game week 6, so we'll find out that very soon.
Yeah, I suppose if we are, going to guess right now who we're going to get in the next round, you are probably going to look at Bayern Munich for the Eriksen and Harder reunion with Chelsea. Although they can't, no. I was going to say Brann could overtake Lyon, but they got a score of 19 goals. I mean, what a win to get that. So that's not happening. So either Benfica, Brann, Ajax, Bayern Munich, or Roma, depending on that last game. So you would expect Chelsea strong enough to go through that. And then you're looking at Lyon, Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain in the semi-finals. I know which one I would want. Out of those three, but we'll see. Hopefully we can get a nice route to Bilbao.
I think at our best we've got the ability to beat all of these teams, so hopefully we do get the favourable draw and we don't have to face both Lyon and Barcelona again. But if it does, it does. I mean, to be the best, you've got to win. You've got to beat the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Though it is easier over one leg, but we'll say that to be the best.
Well, I say that we final a few years ago didn't exactly show that completely, but
yeah, but we're a different team.
Yes, we are a different team.
Yeah. Now the last thing, obviously, usually when we win, I do a player of the match poll. I thought this game was so poor that I couldn't pick 4 players out of the 11 to be on the poll. But I chose a winner as Aaron Cuthbert. There was a shout for Ashley Lawrence as well, who has been performing very well recently. But I thought Aaron was, again, her usual dynamic self, Matt, and probably the highlight of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I was discussing in the Discord chat, and I just didn't know who to put as a I couldn't name it, but I struggled. I think I just put Cuthbert because it just said she runs. This is such a generic comment, but it's late. It's arguably the lazy man a match to give, but there just wasn't a lot of players that stood out really. Even when Lauren come on, Lauren was okay, but wasn't fantastic compared to her usual high standards. So, as you said, it weren't easy to give pick one, let alone 4 potential names.
Yeah, I mean, Cuthbert would have won player of the match against Man United if Lauren James hadn't scored a hat-trick. So we'll give her this one. And as I said last on Tuesday, they don't actually get nothing for this. So I don't think they care. We're going to go for a break now. And then we're going to come back and talk about the Brighton game. Before we do that, a reminder about your Kings Meadow Chronicle, your Chelsea FC Women's fanzine. There is a sale now on for the last few copies. of issue 8. They're available for just £1 plus postage, which is £1 in the UK and £2.50 for the rest of the world. You can pick up your copy from kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. There are just 11 copies of that left. There's two copies of issue 7 for 50p, and there's about 20 copies of issue 4 for, I think, 10p on the website. If someone could order all of those for me, so I can get them out of my garage, be much appreciated, because issue 9 is on its way. It'll be available for the Everton game on the 4th of February, if everyone sends me their articles, that is. After the game on Saturday, that's going to print. So if you want to get your copy of that, make sure you sign up for a subscription as well. All of it is available on the website, as I said, kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com. And we will be right back after this.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to part 2 of Went to Mode Kings Meadow. Time now to look ahead to the WSL match with Brighton at the Broadfield Stadium, Crawley, this Saturday at 5:30. Matt, will you be there?
I will not, unfortunately. I've got a busy birthday weekend.
Yeah, no, this is my local match, actually, Crawley. I'm taking my son to his first game for Chelsea Women. So looking forward to that. So if you are going, do say hello. I'm going to try and get him a selfie with Musovic, I think. We'll tweet her in a minute. Talking of Musovic, which is why I mentioned it, who starts for you in goal, Matt? Because if that was her in goal, I think that's a mistake on Wednesday night. We've seen her dropped for less. We've seen Anne Katchenberger drop for mistakes. This is the first question mark about Hannah Hampton perhaps having a mistake. Do you think she keeps her place or not?
I mean, Zachira is my favourite goalkeeper, so out of the three, so it's a bit biased for me to say Zachira comes in, but I do think Emma is ruthless enough that one of the two will come in, and I think Berger seems to be completely frozen out at the moment, not even in squad, so it wouldn't surprise me if Berger comes on the team sheet, but I think it probably will be Zachira that starts.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke, obviously, we had Rob Prattley on the show Wednesday, you know, a man with a lot of knowledge and about the team. And he mentioned that, you know, Emma said that Hannah's the number one, which is something we haven't heard publicly. She obviously never backed that up. I think this is the opportunity to back that up. And given what we're going to run in Kings Meadow Chronicle issue 9, I am crossing my fingers that it is Hannah Hampton. Otherwise, we're going to look a bit silly. But like you, I really like Sachira as a goalkeeper. You know, great with her feet. You know, getting better, I think, with shot stopping if she gets her confidence. A player that needs to play, I think, you know, I think all goalkeepers are the same. You know, you've got to play them continuously. Something that doesn't happen for Chelsea. But either way, I'm happy with who plays in goal out of those two. And as you said, AKB, when you see them doing the warm-up bit where they save the shots, I mean, she wasn't even doing that against Real Madrid. It was Katie Cox out there as the third choice, which seems strange. And maybe there's something up with her while she's not in the squad at all. But I don't suppose we'll ever find out. And I suppose the other question is that centre back. You know, we obviously Nathalie Björn couldn't play in the Champions League in the group stage for us, so she's back in contention. So out of her, Carter and Buchanan, you know, what partnership are you going for?
I'm thinking in terms of Brighton is a tough game. We've always struggled against Brighton away. It's the game I dislike on the calendar, and just hope we just get a bye. If we could get a bye in the league, Brighton would be the one. But I would go with what would for me be our strongest in terms of Carter and Bjorn.
Yeah, I think the same, but yeah, I do think Buchanan's been very good since she's come into the team. And I don't know if her and Bjorn are just too similar. Both like to play out from the back with the ball. You maybe need Jesse's 1v1 skills in defence. It's tough, isn't it? You know, to pick.
Yeah. I'd like to see Bjorn kind of really tested in a defensive sort of scheme, kind of 1v1. See, does she have the skills to do that as well? Because obviously we've seen how good she is playing at the back and general defending stuff. She seems very neat and tidy and steady. It'd be good to see how she is 1v1, because that will determine whether a Buchanan Bjorn partnership can succeed. Because obviously, if Buchanan, she has a mistake in her, even when she is playing well. And if that starts creeping into Bjorn's game potentially, which I don't think it will, because I think from what I've seen quite enough to see that hopefully doesn't, then that would create a problem within the partnership. But I think Emma's going to go effectively tried and tested, which would be Carter and Bjorn.
Yeah, and I suppose you also mentioned about Charles needed a rest. Is the option now for Jess to go out that left-hand side and play as a left-back if necessary? I don't think that's going to happen. I think Charles will definitely play. But moving on to the midfield, and I think it's going to be Cuthbert and Leupolz again, or do you think she's going to rotate because of, you know, just the amount of games we're playing? But those two, I think, are our strongest partnership right now.
Oh, yeah. I think they combine quite well together. I sometimes feel there are games where I'm looking, I'm like, do we need an Ingle just to hold a little bit? But I think this is not the game for Ingle or someone like that to come in. So I think Leupolz and Cuthbert will play again, and then it will be the Paris game where I think Emma will look to rotate a bit more with them two.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, that is the next after this where we can take out probably all the players and play anyone, because, you know, it doesn't matter the result, although I suppose Emma won't want to lose. I'm going to move ahead of the three sort of attackers to the striker. Mia Fischl taken off at half time. We've seen Lauren James play as the striker. Also, we've got Myra Ramirez now in the team as well. Who do you think starts up front?
See, I've had a few people ask me, "Oh, is Ramirez going to start straight away?" And I know Emma doesn't like to just throw players straight in, even players like Ramirez, who Emma in the World Cup couldn't stop praising. I think it was probably one of the most praised players she had in the World Cup in general. But I mean, my gut says she starts on the bench just because she hasn't had lots and lots of time with the squad. Who she starts up front, I feel like she'll go with Lauren James. As much as Lauren James can play a false nine effectively, I still think you need someone up front. And I think while her scoring isn't always there at finishing. She does have good hold up play, and I think especially if you've got Lauren James on the pitch and players she can link around, I feel she does a job without she can do a job without necessarily getting a goal. So I would start Fischl, but I don't. I have a feeling that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, I think in the same as you. Just given the fact that she took her off at half time, she's not doing what she wanted her to do, I suppose. And James came on, would leave Cameron Kirby and Wrighton behind her, do you think?
Yeah, likely. I have a sneaky feeling that Aggie Beaver-Jones will start, but I don't know. It's just something I feel like Emma will throw her in. But it was likely going to be Wright and Kirby in there.
So this is our, as we've talked, I've written it down as a team, sort of our guess for Emma Hayes' selection, which has Muzovic in goal. I think Perisic right back, just because Lawrence has played the last two games.
Yeah, and I think Perisic should probably come in just for a little bit of rotation.
Yeah, Bjorn and Carter as the partnership in the middle. Charles at left back. Kuppa at Leupolz in the midfield. Then I've stuck with Cameron Kirby, Wrighton, and then James, despite the Aggie Beaver Jones mentioned. And I know we mentioned Mayra Maria's, obviously her first day today, trained with the team. Obviously struggled to settle in because of that language barrier, especially when you try and talk to Aaron Cuthbert, who struggles with English, being from north of the border. But you mentioned on the bench, and I think if she's registered and available to do that, which I'm sure she is, I think I would expect her on the bench as well. And if all were going well, get her on the pitch towards the end of the game with Lauren James having done the business up front for us.
Yeah, I think you got to get her kind of coming on, because I think especially with the price tag that she's coming for, a world record fee, you can't just keep her off. You can't just not play her. And I think she needs to get in and get used to the team. And I think especially with language barriers, the best way to get that is by just throwing her into the thick of it. Obviously, I think Erin's probably the worst person you want in terms of an accent to try and understand. So I think that maybe there are other players that she can talk to a little bit easier between other languages, because all these footballers, they do know some other languages generally, and at least they can just piece together certain things. But she'll hopefully learn quickly, and I think her game speaks for herself. I'm very happy that she's come into the club.
Yeah, I've got hyped off of her highlight reel videos that people post. I don't watch Levante, to be honest. But yeah, I saw a bit of her the World Cup, not too much, but Emma was very excited about her. And yeah, looking forward to seeing her play. So whether that is off the bench or on the pitch, yeah, Buffer thinks she might start. She's been in training, so you never know. We will see. About 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, when the team news drops. And before we give our predictions, you mentioned Brighton being a tough place to go, and you know, but I feel that bogey team mantra around Brighton has disappeared. And you know, this is a comfortable game for someone who went there last season without Emma Hayes, who was ill at the time, and won a quite comfortable game in the rain.
Yeah, well, let's just hope it rains again.
No, we're winning the dry, I think. I don't get wet, but that's just me being.
I think we'll get the win anyway. But it's just even games that we play against Brighton, I just feel we're never completely comfortable.
I suppose it's just the scars of those dreadful defeats hang with us probably a bit longer than the players who obviously come and go. I think we lost at home. Carly Telford played in goal that game. Was Bright out that game as well, dropped or rested. 3-2. Yeah, ridiculous. But Hope Power's gone.
That's the most important thing.
That is when the curse was officially lifted, in my opinion. And I think Chelsea are going to run out comfortable 3-1 winners on Saturday. Matt, your prediction?
I do think we'll score goals. I think we'll concede a few, and I'm going to go 4-2.
4-2. Here's a good tip, because I don't remember the predictions. Whatever the score is, just tweet and say you predicted that on the show, and I'll retweet it. And no one will say anything anyway. I should really do some sort of scoring tally for this predictions, but I don't even promote the show, so let alone do stuff like that. So yeah, no chance of that. Sadly, that is all we're going to have time for tonight. We will be back on Tuesday to review this Brighton game and look ahead to the Paris match next Wednesday, with who I do not know, because like most things, we'll leave that to the last minute, depending on who's available. Matt, thanks for joining us. I never remember your Twitter feed, so if you want to plug that now for the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me, Matt J Ball 98. I'll chat absolute nonsense on there, but if you want to read absolute nonsense, then follow me.
Yeah, and if you want to see some bad jokes, make sure you follow the show at Mokey's Mellow, sorry. We're also on Instagram at Mokey's Mellow. Get it right one day. You can follow me at DMiz if you want as well. And if you love what we do and enjoy the show, why not consider signing up to become a Patreon season ticket holder? You can do that for just £5 a month, and it helps support the show, do things like Mixlr with a live chat, me to edit the show and to publish it onto Acast and all stuff like that, and supports obviously our causes such as Future Ballers, our charity campaign in the summer to give young girls football boots for the upcoming season, an update of which you will find in the next issue of Kingsmeadow Chronicle as well. The link for Patreon is patreon.com/WentsmoKingsmeadow to sign up there. And don't forget to leave us that review if you are listening on our new WentsmoKingsmeadow platform, as it will help us appear in people's feeds, get on your Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year, and beat the other podcasts that cover Chelsea. Just not as fun as us, I'm sure you'll agree. As I said, we'll be back Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Until then, from Stamford Bridge to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.